Hello, everyone. It's good to see you. Good to be out here. Good morning, and welcome to the final day of 2023 and our last service of the year.
I know.
That happens every year. There's about half of us that are like, oh, gosh, this has been a great year. I'm sorry to see it go. And then there's some of us that are like, it's got a great year. I'm glad it's over. whatever that is, whichever group you fall into today, you're going to have an opportunity to release any negative energy from the year, any habits, erroneous beliefs, or you've discovered over the past year, they no longer serve you. And it's also the day of resolutions. The resolutions, that's mainly what New Year's Eve is all about. Resolutions means to resolve to do something, resolve to commit or surrender. For me, a New Year's resolution usually goes in one year and out the other. I told Paula as one of my New Year's resolutions, I want to read more, so I turned on the subtitles on our TV. Check! So, whatever you bring with you today, instead of storing those things in your psyche over the years so they can jump out and surprise you without warning, today we release them and let them go into the ethers. We let spirit run our lives, as Ricky Byers says. This is our annual burning bowl service, and it's a ritual that gives us some time for inner reflection as to what we may be holding on to that no longer serves us. We may have been okay last year, but we're continually growing as spiritual beings. What might have been okay last year maybe no longer serves you this year. We're having a chance during our meditation to look at that and to allow spirit to bubble up and tell us what it is that we most need to release. We're going to write them on a piece of flash paper, which will be demonstrated before we do it, send it into that flame, and poof, it goes up into smoke. And that symbolizes the release of the power that thing has over you. You're not releasing that thing, you're releasing the power it has over you. Because all those things we cling to have power over us. They all keep you in bondage at some level. Thich Nhat Hanh said, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk, if in your heart we still cling to anything, anger, anxiety, possessions, we cannot be free. Ricky Byers says, I am free in the spirit, and I'm only here for God. So today can be a celebration of our freedom as well. So, and next week, you're going to have the opportunity to think about and contemplate what you want to draw into your life for the next year, and that's our White Stone ceremony. So it's a beautiful combination. I hope you all plan, you guys out there in live stream land, plan to be with us next week too, or show up here live. It's always a wonderful thing, our White Stone ceremony. But today's about release. And why do we sometimes hold on so tightly to things we know that are not good for us? Anybody been there? Holding on to things you know are not good for you? Whew. All right. I didn't get an amen from Alice, so I don't know. She knows that. She knows I love her. There we go. Whew. Okay, I can go on now. So I believe there's no better example of this than the monkey trap. Do you all know what that is? Of holding on to things that no longer serve you. Central America, in parts of China, they have an ingenious no-tech way to catch monkeys by drilling a hole in a gourd that's big enough for the monkey to get his hand in and grab the treat. But when he grabs the treat, he can't get his hand out. And you can walk right up to the monkey, scared to death, but he will not let go of that treat, you know. And the gourd's attached, so he can't just grab it and walk off with it. But the monkey traps itself. And it seems obvious, you could say, the monkey should just realize it just needs to let go of that treat to regain its freedom. But to the monkey, it's acting out of a survival instinct. This is food, and I found it, and it's mine. No one else's, and he won't let go. So it's a very similar story. Any Simpsons fans out there? You might remember the episode where Homer's at a vending machine and his candy bar doesn't come out. So he gets so mad, he kicks the machine around, it never comes out, so he decides he's gonna stick his arm up there and find it, yeah. Winds his arm up there, and he finally finds his candy bar, but now he can't get his hand out of the vending machine. So he ends up all day dragging this vending machine around with his arms. And when the firemen finally come, they said, "Homer, are you still holding on to that candy bar?" He goes, "Yes." So we'll let go. And then, of course, out comes his hand. He goes, "Oh." But that food was his, nobody else's. He paid for it. He wasn't going to let anyone. So here's my question for you today. You probably know what it is. What is your candy bar? What is it that you're holding on to that is stealing your freedom? Is it a relationship, a habit, addiction? Maybe it's sugar or meat, something in your diet, negative self-talk, unforgiveness, unworthiness. These are all things that, you know, may be holding you back and keeping you in bondage. And if they resonate with you, you might consider those kind of things to write down on your paper today. Both Homer and the monkeys were trapped, but not by anything physical. They were trapped by an idea, a belief. That's all it was. And it rendered them unable to weigh the price of possessing a treat against the rewards of letting the treat go. Now, release is a very spiritual process. Jesus was all over this idea in the Sermon on the Mount, which is on a slide here. In fact, let's say this together, where Jesus, very popular, very famous, so we can say this out loud together. Ready? "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So there he is telling us there to release and surrender our worry, let go of the fear of lack. He also tells us in other scriptures to release hatred and judgment and love your enemies. He tells us to release resentment and forgive 70 times 70 times. The 13th century philosopher Meister Eckhart famously said, "God is not found in the soul by adding anything, knowledge, workshops, whatever you want to do, but God is found in the process of subtraction, taking away, releasing, by letting go." So release is also one of unity's 12 powers. It's a very spiritual power, and for those of you who don't know, unity's 12 powers are 12 attributes that we give to God that we have within us. And each of those powers of attributes of God have centers in our body. And release is one of those centers. It's called renunciation. Sometimes it's called elimination. But release has been the more popular, easier to understand power. So it is one of the 12 powers of God, of man. And, no one wants to walk around with a vending machine tied to their arm. And, I'm not the best person as an example of someone who can easily let go of bad habits or make major changes in his life. But this is what I found, that in this process that we're going to go through, if I'm really honest with myself, if I really trust what bubbles up for me from my inner guide, that the universe will always conspire to ensure my success. And I promise that it will conspire to ensure yours as well. So I've come up with 5 ways that we can make letting go easier. And the first one, 5 ways to successfully changing old habits. Big one is non-resistance. So don't turn this into a battle, a fight, that you're fighting for your freedom. What you resist persists. What you fight will fight back, okay? So just make it a peaceful process. Emmett Fox, in his book, Make Your Life Worthwhile, says, "Do not fight your rheumatism or your debt or your uncongenial job, or even your critical tongue if you have one, but build health, build prosperity, harmony, good humor into your consciousness, and those unwanted things will disappear." That's seeking first the kingdom. A good way to start. Number 2, find a support person, Now, you don't have to tell everyone. And sometimes when you just put it out there, I'm going to write a book, and people, you'll always have naysayers, even people that love you. "What? You've never written a thing. How are you going to write a book?" So don't tell everybody, but find one person that, in AA they call it your sponsor. It's a person that to encourage you, someone you trust wants only the best for you, and then lean on this person whenever you're having difficulty. Number 3, this one surprised me when I thought about it. It came up for me to grieve, grieving. This grief always follows loss, and it doesn't matter whether it's the loss of a loved one or the loss of an unhealthy relationship. We could grieve the loss of a habit that we're letting go of that we've had for years and years. You can grieve unfulfilled dreams that you've let go. Be aware of this and consider that what you're feeling at any moment could be based in grief. If you're like, why am I off today? Why do I just feel down today? Think about maybe you're simply missing something that you loved, in many cases still do love, that was a daily part of your life. Recognize it, allow it, allow yourself to grieve. Grieving also makes it real. You know, when you feel grief, it's like, okay, I'm really letting go of this. I mean, you wouldn't be feeling grief if you weren't in your heart really letting go. So thank the grief as well if you experience that. Number four, self-compassion. Always important in anything we do, but especially when we're trying to change a habit or make changes in our life. You have to take it easy on yourself. And if you backslide, you know, show yourself compassion and forgiveness. Scolding yourself doesn't help. It just basically pits yourself against yourself. And, you know, always think about treating yourself the way you would treat a good friend, encouraging them, keep them going. You know, you can do it. You can do it. Be kind to yourself. And finally, we've heard this already a couple times during this lesson, seek first the kingdom. So this is about not pinning your happiness to other people or other circumstances. You want to pin your happiness where only you can get to it. That's right in here, in the kingdom of heaven within you. Focus on the things that are right with you, and what you think is wrong with you will eventually dissolve. And meditate. Take time each day to just sit in the quiet and see yourself as wondrously made. Revel in your divinity. That's seeking the kingdom. Reveling in your divinity. Now, the great thing about the burning bowl, and you'll find that out in just a few minutes, is that we feel the impact of release immediately. It's very thrilling. When you've written that stuff down, you may have one thing, one word. You may have several things. You don't have to fit it all in there because God knows what it is. You know what it is. You can just do initials or whatever, however much you can fit on that paper. Man, when you put it to that flame and watch it burn and the flash paper just destroys it, you have this wonderful feeling of upliftment. You know, we immediately feel lighter and freer and happier and more empowered. But that's a huge step. But here's the disclaimer. The burning bowl ceremony is not a magic wand. It is a ritual. Unity Renaissance does not guarantee you will instantly stop craving a cigarette or cream-filled donut once you burn your paper. It is important. Its most important function is self-reflection, which is about what we're going to do right now. So let's take a couple deep breaths and prepare for our burning bowl service by beginning to turn our attention inward. We'll have a little time of centering. And I invite you to become still and quiet. And as you open yourself to divine guidance, just breathe and let go. Let each breath become an invitation and a release. With every inhale, you're inviting the spirit within you, the divine within you, to come forth and give you guidance. Exhale, you're releasing control, surrender, and releasing to whatever is revealed to you in these next few minutes. Now go a little deeper. Feel yourself loved and supported. Begin to radiate love to those around you. And as you breathe, you can feel the love that's being radiated to you. Now go even deeper to the very heart of your being, to that part of you where there is no fear, no anxiety, only trust. And as we enter into a time of silence together, I want you to take this question with you, or questions. What is holding me in bondage What is mine to release? What is holding me in bondage? What is mine to release? So we take that breath and release our will to the one will, and we enter into the silence. Just listen and allow the answer to bubble up within you in the silence. Now, when you feel led to, take a few moments to write down on your flash paper any thoughts, habits, patterns that came to you. And remember to trust. It might not have been what you were expecting. It might not be what you want. But trust that what came up for you in the silence was for your highest and best good. Take a few moments now to write that down. Does everybody have a piece of flash paper? Sorry, I did not ask. And a pencil. All you kids out there, you might want to consider resolving to make your bed every day. Clean your room once a week. Not pick on your little brother so much. Help dry the dishes. That used to be my favorite chore.
Flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding.
I'm wondering if you will send